Welcome back to WrestleCast episode 168, recorded May 17th, 2017. This is the show where we have a serious discussion about the non-serious world of professional wrestling. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Along with me this week is Killer Carpe Diem.
Hey, yo, the Iron Man streak continues.
I was surprised because you were saying last week it might have ended this week, so...
There
cool.
was a minor possibility. It's going to unfortunately have to come to an end sooner rather than later due to summer sports and physical activity. So.
Yeah, and for the next couple of weeks until I get this Skype thing fixed, it's going to be a two-man show. And that's basically because every time, for whatever reason, we add a third person, and this is over the last week or two, just massive amounts of like white noise show up. So if any of you guys have experienced this... and know how to fix it, let me know. I think it's something specific with my mixer and talking with Skype. So if it doesn't fix itself within, I don't know, a couple of months or maybe a month or two, I might have to look into another option, either a software option or getting a new mixer. But I'm hoping that just kind of Skype, historically, it's been able to fix itself. So I'm hoping that works. In the meantime, we're going to be a two-man show with emails and all that kind of stuff. This week, we're going to change it up a little bit because we usually do our keep, tosser, and proofs for Raw and stuff. But because we have such a stacked amount of information, a pay-per-view review, and two to preview, we're going to basically talk about the pay-per-views this week. And let's start it off, Carp, with ROH World of Worlds. We were four at my place on Friday. This aired on traditional pay-per-view and on the Fight TV app. And I'm sure you guys are already familiar with that Fight TV app because of what's on Fight on Trending Topics Network. Although I don't think they pay for pay-per-views, and if I'm wrong, but please, you know, correct me. But I think they just go with the free stuff. We actually go for the pay-per-view stuff. Now, finally, Carp, that we've got another guy who put in whatever the $40. They have like a credit system too. So I know I'm running on a bit of a tangent here. But if you guys ever buy like an ROH pay-per-view and you're a group of guys, look under your account settings. You can actually sign up your friend for credits. And if you order two pay-per-views, you essentially get the next one free, which is what's going to happen to us. So Carp, let's start with the first match. It's going to be Kazarian against Hangman Page. Let's get your thoughts.
Didn't we open with a four-way of Kushida, Dalton Castle, Silas Young, and Bobby Fish?
Oh, wasn't Page and Kazarian? Oh, my bad. Okay.
That was the second match.
Okay. Yeah, let's start with that four-way because it was a lot of fun. Dalton Castle, Scruff's favorite wrestler, and he's just this extravagant, super strong kind of, he's a mix of Goldust and Cesaro, I find. He's like a really cool mix. He's got these dudes that go along with him to ring, his boys, essentially. They fan him and during the match. It's kind of like his cronies just kind of help him out, but there's kind of this like homosexual undertone to the character. It's a really interesting gimmick, and he's... I know, right?
Dalton Castle's straighter than whatever the straightest thing is. Straighter than probably Danny D, who's a porn star who has sex with like 1,000 women a week. He's even straighter than that guy.
He's straight out of Compton, Carp.
Yeah, I mean, his boys are just, you know, just convenient little helpers. That's
right.
All.
So whatever, let's agree to disagree on that. But the guy is a crazy talent. Also in this match, Kushida from New Japan. This guy hits everything perfect. Just crisp, perfect, fucking flips, does whatever. It doesn't matter how much amount of space you have in that ring. The guy can fucking, he's flawless in the ring.
Yeah, comes in with the cheap pop, though, in the Yankees jersey, New York. Come on.
Who gives a shit? Yeah. I have no issue with that. He's pandering to his crowd. That's okay. They got Silas Young, too, the real man's man. Kind of like that William Regal gimmick, but he can actually fucking move in the ring. The guy can do like kip-ups and fucking dives, and he's like this old school dude, but he brings into that an ROH style as well and makes it entertaining.
He's like if my dad was a young wrestler with like the thick mustache and the hair.
100%. I agree. And our winner, Bobby Fish as well. If you're familiar with is it Black Dragon or Red Dragon? Red Dragon.
Red Dragon.
Yeah, yeah. Him and Kyle O'Reilly had a great tag team Kyle O'Reilly's, I think, WWE bound, so he's doing his solo thing. Great worker, too. This is a great match. A lot of crazy spots. Silas Young surprising the shit out of me. Kushida just bringing it. And Dalton Castle takes the win with this. I mean, it makes sense. The guy's mad over. That's the guy you want to push. Everybody got their shit in, too, which was good. It was a good opening match.
Yeah, really good opening match. Great call with Castle winning. I mean, he's stupid over with the crowd. It is ridiculous how hot the crowd is for Dalton Castle, especially with the underlying homosexual tones of his character. And you know how some indie crowds are super homophobic. So this is, it's nice that the crowd's backing Dalton Castle and his wacky, gimmick of him and his boys, who I'm sure he pays a fair wage to, of course.
I'm hearing some fucking, I don't know, maybe it's your beard or something. The fucking mic's moving around there. This gimmick is just so extravagant for ROH because you figure they just want these tough guys to beat the shit out of each other. But it works. And I don't know what's going to happen. I hope they eventually push the title on this guy. Can he go to WWE? Who knows? But it's definitely working on the independent scene for him right now. Next match was Frankie Kazarian versus Hangman Page. I mean, this was a little quick, and you're going to see our review is going to be pretty quick for most of these matches because they had to get a lot of matches in on a three-hour card. And normally ROH goes a bit over 3 hours. I don't know how it works on pay-per-view time, what the penalties are for that, because I know if they do just an iPay-per-view, they can go 4 hours with no penalties. In this case, they would probably be significantly penalized, so because they had to get a lot of matches in. Most of these matches, I don't think there was one that went over like 15 minutes, which is very weird for ROH because you're always used to at least even the main event. Like Lethal always goes 20, 25 minutes. So this was quick. Wasn't anything out of the ordinary. Kazarian, I found he lacked a bit, but I like the move with putting Hangman Page over. This guy's definitely a future star for ROH. And definitely a solid matchup. What do you think?
Yeah, there was that like brainbuster on the apron. I think it was in this match where I'm like, well, he's paralyzed. I think it was this match. Oh, maybe not. But yeah, I mean, right call by putting over Page. This is, I guess, an attempt to end the feud of Kazarian screwing over the Bullet Club and Adam Cole and Daniels ending up with the title. This was, I think trying to end it, but I'm not sure.
Our next matchup was triple threat tag team match. IWGP Tag Team Champions War Machine, Hanson and Rowe versus Los Inagulables de Japón, which is Evil and Sanada, against this team, Search and Destroy, which is Chris Sabin and Justin Gresham. I guess the Machine Guns...
Jonathan Gresham.
Oh, my bad. So I'm guessing it's because the guns are not happening. Is that it?
I don't know what the deal is because, I mean, Shelly's around, so who knows? Maybe Shelly had prior commitments in Japan or something they couldn't get out of. Yeah. Or maybe he had prior commitments that he forgot about this because forgetting about ROH would be stupid, but you never know what these guys... I mean, these guys have to work every weekend, right? So
Yeah, pretty much. Whatever. If you guys know what the contract status is or why he couldn't make it or maybe they're not a team anymore or what the fuck is going on there, let me know. But to me, the team that stood out was War Machine. I've seen them a couple of times and I wasn't that impressed, but these guys fucking brought it. Especially that bigger dude. Like, he was doing all kinds of fucking small guy moves. And he's, like, pushing 350. And he was impressive as fuck, Carp.
Yeah, Hanson is amazing. I like this IWGP War Machine with the face paint and the football cleats with the spikes. You know, the kind of the mix between LOD and Demolition. I mean, I've always been impressed by War Machine. They're getting better and better. Outside of what... like Ray Rowe got injured once, which slowed down his career. To me, these guys belong in the WWE right now.
I agree. They got that big man fucking thing. Vince would love them. And they can move. They can really move. By the way, they won this match. All right. Our next matchup, Jay White and Will Ospreay. Holy shit. Like, just fucking unbelievable, man. Ospreay. I've seen White a couple times. He was all right. But he stepped it up. And this was just a fucking spot fest. But that guy, Ospreay is on such a different level. Just the quickness of their match. It seemed like a step quicker than everybody else. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for the roster because they work on such a quick pace. But I really love this guy's matches.
Any match that stole the show, it would be this one. These guys were fucking ridiculous. And this is the match where the guy landed like skull first on the apron.
Like multiple times.
Yeah, and we marked out pretty hard. Except for one of your other guests who was falling asleep, but that's because he was exhausted, so whatever excuse.
Yeah, it was the flatliner, right? That move that we... Yeah, okay.
Something and me, you, and Mixmaster Phil went, oh, fuck! So, yeah. This match was amazing. Solid 4.5-star match. And it felt a lot shorter than the 13:25 it was clocked in at, but that's because it was just so fast-paced.
Yeah, I'm still hearing that rubbing on the mic, Carp, if you could fix that while we're talking there. But yeah, it just... Like you said, man, I mean, these guys go 1,000 miles an hour and they're just jumping off the rope doing crazy fucking, but everything they do looks like it hurts like a motherfucker. And it just, they bring that wrestling art back to it. You know, you don't watch the match, there's no slow spot, there's no rest hold. These guys just go non fucking stop. And if you haven't seen Will Ospreay, check out New Japan World, check it out on YouTube, especially him and Ricochet. This guy's fucking money, man. I love watching this guy. All right, Will Ospreay wins, by the way. Our next match is...
Bully Briscoes.
Yeah, against Roppongi Vice and Goto. I mean, it was what it was. You know, Bully doing a dive, and I don't know if you heard about that whole thing with Randy Orton and that, but he was shitting on independent people.
Yeah, well, Orton's a douche. So, fuck him. You know, some people think they're better than they actually are. So,
you know, the Briscoes, it is what it is. It's entertaining. Bully Ray is there more for the name value, but he did make a good effort, especially for his age. He can go.
Bully Ray's last run in TNA and his run in, it feels like he's putting in effort and looks like he's enjoying wrestling again.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was cool, too, to see, like, he pulled off his traditional, you know, 3D spots. Well, it'd be the Dudley spots with, like, the was up and get the tables. And
Also being in the Hammerstein ballroom and him coming through the crowd and being, we're going to make this mother ECW tonight. And the crowd's like, rah! Like, batshit crazy, so.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. And they retained their six-man tag. Beating Goto and whatever the fuck their name is. Anyways, they hit the
three. Are you looking for Roppongi Vice?
Yeah, those guys. Roppongi Vice. They hit the 3B for the win. And let's just talk about Colt Cabana too quick, because I think it's the second or third time he's done color, and he was super funny.
Well, like Colt says on his podcast, he's a comedy wrestler, so you just carry the shtick over. I think he's doing a great job. I think he's a great color guy.
And one of the guys who's pretty much on fire in the independent circuit right now is Marty Scurll. He defeated Matt Sydal by submission. To me, it's a great traditional ROH type style. The problem is, it's just the card was so fucking stacked and all over the place that it wasn't a memorable match. He hit all his signature stuff, especially that...
The finger break?
Yeah, finger break.
Yeah. Well, the finger break, I caught how the spot's actually done finally. It's still, the way it is visually is disgusting. And it sounds wrong. And the way his opponents sell it, even, it's just so well done. Hell, the guy's gotten over a chicken wing submission. So obviously, Scurll, right at the moment, I can't get me with that right now, shit. Scurll at the moment, he's doing a great job. Yeah. He really deserves that TV title. And to me, you work him towards the main event at some point.
Yeah, he's definitely money. And we'll talk about him a bit later. Then the Young Bucks versus Los Inagrables de Japón, Naito and Bushi. This is fucking insane. Like, it's just Young Bucks at their best, man. And Naito and Bushi were fun to watch too. But the Bucks, these guys are like the Austin of the independent circuit. Just how... The crowd gets invested into it. And especially most of this match, there wasn't a lot of super kicks until the end. Then when fucking, you know, they got their shit in. But they got a lot of, to me, the Bucks now is more for the crowd reaction. It adds that extra level to it. And it's just them not giving a fuck and just being marks for themselves.
Yeah, well, you can hear they hit a super kick in the entire crowd. Super kick! Super kick!
Yeah, they do that. They do a Kevin Kelly announcing of super kick. It's great.
So, it was actually Steve Corino, but nonetheless. Yeah, I mean, I didn't know people could get over a super kick as much as these guys have. And hell, I mean, you know that you're the internet darlings when their finishing move is the Meltzer driver.
Yeah.
So
this.
Yeah. No. Bucks retain the ROH tag team titles and their Super Kick Party titles at the same time. So.
A lot of great near falls too in this match. It was just super entertaining. Okay. And the main event, a little lackluster in my opinion, but just because of the time constraints and the card. This is Adam Cole and Tanahashi. Tanahashi retaining. I wouldn't say there was anything significant in this. To me, it was like a traditional kind of John Cena non-major pay-per-view match with like a CM Punk or something, you know? It was cool to see Tanahashi, him and Cole work okay together, but I think because they didn't give it enough time to work that match, it wasn't memorable, except for the finish where Marty Scurll gets revealed to be part of the Bullet Club.
First, it's Bucks come out, crowd's like, oh, they hug.
Yeah, I'm kind of rushing it there. Go ahead.
Then Omega on the screen. Omega's like, oh, you know what, Adam? Blah, blah, blah. You tried to get the Bucks fired. Yeah. So I'm bringing in a new guy. Skrull with Omega. Lights come on. Bullet Club umbrella.
Super kick.
Yeah. Super kick. And then the long kiss goodbye, I guess you could call it, or the kiss goodbye on the cheeks.
Because where's he going? WWE now?
People are expecting him to show up at TakeOver Chicago, so...
Yeah, because they're saying, like, thank you, Adam, and stuff. Yeah, I mean, he's fucking,
on his little Adam Cole show thing he does, he's like, oh, I'm going to test the free agent market. I'm like, yeah, you're going to WWE. You should.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen.
Only 3-time ROH champ or 2-time, multi-time? I don't know.
He's WWE material anyway.
Yeah, like, since he used to be part of, like, Cole and O'Reilly, he has gotten so frigging good over the last few years. He deserves a shot at the big time.
Dude, your mic's still rubbing. Trying to figure that out. Our main event, Christopher Daniels. I love that they have the belt on this guy versus the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes versus Jay Lethal. Again, time constraints limited this, but Daniels stepped up. To me, he was the performer here, the best one. These guys had great chemistry. I love the near falls. It was, again, time constraint, but nice to see that Daniel retains for the moment. I don't see an issue with that, especially with the New Japan coming up. Like, we kind of had the idea that Lethal wasn't going to win because he's in that tournament for the U.S. The U.S. Championship for New Japan. But, I mean, it was star-studded. It was fun. Daniels can still go at his age. So, I say keep the title on him. Your thoughts?
Yeah, keep the title on Daniels. But, I don't know, like, the end of the match felt super rushed because, obviously, they were trying to end it.
Yeah, they had to.
I mean, this was probably one of the shorter ROH main events in a while. It wasn't even clocked in at 14 minutes.
Yeah, imagine. Like, you always see them go 20 plus. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think they could have done a lot more if they had a lot more time. But ROH is trying to put too much at the same time sometimes. And that this felt like they were trying to pack in too much.
That was because of the New Japan stuff. I would rather they have this than not have a star-studded cast. You know what I mean? So, it's a trade-off. But I'd rather see all the New Japan guys. I think it's cool.
No, I mean, all in all, it was one of their good ones. You know, it was a solid 7.5 out of 10 for me. So
yeah, I agree.
They've done better. I'll say that.
All right. So no keep thoughts to improve this week because we're just going straight into NXT Chicago.
Go ahead. But we gotta go what Heavy suggested on our group meet chat, which is TJP needs a heel theme.
It's our preview for a show preview.
Yeah, obviously. Roman Reigns is burying Finn because Buck Roman Reigns is a dick. And,
Fucking suck. Yeah. Why is Roman Reigns wearing anything, man? Nobody wants him to see.
And obviously, Great Balls of Fire is the dumbest pay-per-view name ever.
I agree. So there you go. There's our recap. Heavy sets three favorite topics for us to discuss every single week.
We got to Heavy's points. Finn Balor should went over and screw Roman Reigns. Boy, he's still wearing a flak jacket and stuff. And
Demon King.
Yeah, he obviously injured Braun Strowman, and Strowman didn't injure himself running through an ambulance door. Stupid Roman Reigns, he's hurting everybody now. And
Nobody likes him. What the fuck?
All right, I'm done.
All right, good. All right, so we're gonna talk some NXT. Let's see if I can pull up that match. Do you have the preview here?
Well, there's only four matches listed so far, and TakeOver NXT's on TV right now, so...
Cassius Ohno, like, change your outfit, dude. Sorry, just saying.
Oh, they added a match.
Oh, they did?
So we got Roderick Strong versus Eric Young with the his other two guys from Sanity.
Okay, I'm liking that. I'm liking that. They're Strong, because they're putting Strong as kind of like the super over-the-top baby face, which I find kind of weird. They're having vignettes of him and his kid and him and his wife, and I don't know if that works for him. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's the king of the backbreaker. Stick to the backbreakers. So, I don't know. They don't know what to do with him.
The family man. Yeah.
They don't know what to do with him. He's gonna have to find his own thing. Like Ty Dillinger found the perfect 10 gimmick. Strong's going to have to find his own gimmick in NXT and work on it.
Who do you think takes it?
I would put over Strong. He's still early on. Strong with due to shenanigans from Sanity or Strong straight up, it's hard to call.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with that with Strong. Asuka against
Ruby Riott, aka Heidi Lovelace.
Okay.
And Nikki Cross.
Yeah.
So Cross. It's a fatal triple threat.
So this is supposed to be fucking Sailor Moon or Ember Moon, whatever her name is. I think she was supposed to win it. She got injured, so I'm thinking Asuka retains her.
Yeah, well, it's the her attacking during the women's battle royal on NXT solidified her as her heel character. You're going to give her, they're good. They got to give her a little bit of a heel run for the title. So yeah, title retain.
Yeah. But do you agree though, that this is supposed to be Ember Moon that was going to win this? If she wasn't injured.
Yeah. Because of the fatal four way scenario it was supposed to be, I could have seen Moon pinning Cross to win the title, but not pinning Asuka. Therefore Asuka still going after the title.
DIY versus Authors of Pain. I think DIY is headed to the main roster soon. If they're not, it's still, to me, it makes sense to keep the titles on Authors of Pain. They need it way more than DIY needs it.
I agree with that, but I think we're seeing DIY break up. I think either...
Okay.
The logical choice would be Ciampa going heel because of his look, but they're... Apparently some band released a thing saying, oh, just dropped a new track for Johnny Gargano's theme at TakeOver. They didn't include Ciampa. And then the tweet got deleted. So it could just be, you know, typical internet bullshit to swerve the fans. I think a breakup's happening. So
I think that's a shame, though, because they're a really good team.
Yeah, they are a good team. But they're both great singles wrestlers from the indies. So.
I don't know. I think the singles side is too saturated now. I think they're better as a team.
If they get called up, it's because the revival is going to be on the shelf longer than they expected.
You're fucking Mike, dude. All right. Bate and Pete Dunne. I think the title staying on the champ makes no sense for him to win the tournament and then lose it the next time. I don't see anything significant for Pete Dunne. I think you want to keep the title on Bate for a bit. What do you think?
Yeah. This title gets a regular appearance on a show of somehow, just keep it on Bate for now. Keep it on the mustachioed mister.
On our main event, am I missing anything? I think the main event now, right?
Yep.
Robert Roode at Tommy. Tough one to call. I'm going to go with Roode just because I don't see Roode going anywhere. Makes sense for him to keep the belt. Tommy just got back, so he's got time to kind of... I can't see Tommy winning right away.
No, Rude's ready for the main roster, that's when he's going to drop the strap.
Yeah, agreed.
And I think that the WWE bigwigs or whoever is booking Roode thinks that he's not yet ready for the main roster.
Yeah, and Tommy, I mean, now he's been hurt twice. I think maybe they're just going to wait it out to see if this guy's just massive injury prone and we're not going to waste our time with him. Just give him a couple more months and see what he can do. Unless you just bring him up right away. I mean, just see what happens. But to me, I agree. It doesn't make sense to drop the belt for Roode right now. The roster, there's all kinds of shit going on the main roster. You don't want to bring him up right away. So Roode to retain. All right, let's get into Backlash. Wish I had like a fucking theme for that. Hold on. While I pull that up, let's...
You should have for TakeOver because it's Jericho's Judas or Fozzy's Judas is supposed to
be I should have. TakeOver. I wasn't prepared,
so
unfortunately.
You should find the music.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Next
or
time.
You should, yeah.
Next time Jericho is a pay-per-view theme. All right, since it's Backlash and while I transition here, we'll flip to SmackDown theme. Or not. It didn't work.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah. There we go. Take two. All right, this is an interesting card, Carp, because going into it, the main event looked really like, really? Jinder Mahal and fucking Randy Orton? But actually, to be honest, I'm getting more interested in it. But of course, we're going to start with our first match. It's going to be Ty Dillinger and Aiden English. And to me, it's just another prop match for Dillinger. The guy's new on the roster. He's got a, you know, it's not, is it the greatest gimmick? No, it works. It's over. He's now the reason why everybody trolls the ref when he counts. So it makes sense for him to go over on Aiden English. And although, do you agree that, because I heard this on the net, I don't know if this is true, but the whole English kind of overselling his loss, kind of crying, was a shot at Mauro Ranallo?
I doubt it. But you never know. Because, you know, WWE's dicks sometimes.
Yeah.
So.
Like, I could see Vince totally doing that, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, Vince is a 70-plus-year-old bully still. So, that would be stupid. But, you know, WWE does stupid things sometimes.
Yeah.
Still, you got to put over Ty Dillinger, clean tiebreaker.
For sure.
10. He should start asking for a 10. Like, Big E used to ask for a 5 count.
A 10
Ty
count.
Ty Dillinger should get a 10. But it should be quick. It should be, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
So, yeah, something like that. Yep. But yeah, it's a fun gimmick. SmackDown's perfect for this guy. Aiden English is doing fuck all. He can do the job and do his overacting, crying, whatever. Good for him. Next match, Sami Zayn and Corbin. Fortunately, Sami Zayn's playing job duty on yet another show. It's unfortunate. Corbin is definitely going to go over. They see the future with this guy. It sucks. They don't listen to the fact. To me, Sami Zayn's going to be kind of like a Daniel Bryan, where people just get fed up enough. They're just going to chant Sami Zayn until they give him the title. It's the only way they're going to push this guy.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I'm okay with that. I like when the fans influence the product.
So do you agree, Corbin?
Yeah. Corbin, probably an eye rake and then end of days. You know, it's going to be clean, but not 100% clean.
Yeah. Luke Harper, Eric Rowan.
He's Woven. He's a Woven. Yes, indeed, because he's a Woven with his sheet mask.
Yes, he is. And it makes sense that he won a couple weeks ago because they're going to put over Luke Harper, make Rowan look, I guess, a bit stronger. Is this going to be a great match? No. Is it a bit filler? Yes. Good for Luke Harper.
Okay. I think Rowan's going over.
No way.
From what I heard, Rowan showed up on Talking Smack with a new mask painted like a creepy clown type thing.
So what?
And tweeted an image, a black and white image of a girl with long blonde hair with a sheep mask on. And he's like, is this my sister? Question mark.
Yeah. No.
I got Harper.
Well, you're going to lose that one. I got
they
Harper.
They don't know what they're doing with Harper, and he has
He's not
so
jobbing
potential.
Eric Rowan.
It's ridiculous.
He's not jobbing Eric Rowan. All right. Six-woman tag.
Six-woman.
Woman, yeah. Three-on-three. Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Naomi against...
Welcoming Committee.
The Welcoming Committee, yeah. There you go. Your thoughts on the match. Who's going to win?
I got the committee going over because they got to push one of those three girls to the title.
I agree. I'm also putting Welcoming Committee.
I mean, Carmella came out and said, oh, well, I beat the champ on SmackDown, so I'm obviously the number one contender. So you have one of the other two, either Tamina or Natalya, pin one of them and be like, oh, no, Carmella, I should be the number one contender. And then they'll be like, well, we're friends, so we should both be in triple threat at the next pay-per-view.
I'm going to one over that. Do you one better. Carmella is going to win. Is going to get the pin on Naomi, which is going to push her to argue, I should get a title shot next pay-per-view.
Well, Carmella already beat Naomi.
Well, she's going to beat her again.
Okay.
Which is going to say, hey, I beat you twice already. I want a shot at the belt. All right. Next matchup, the Uggos against the Fashion Police, because they need to change their name. And I know Heavyset's going to be like, oh, you say that every week. Don't care. Change the name.
It's because we're right, Heavyset. We're right, damn it.
Exactly. To me, Uggos retain, but I love what they're doing with the Fashion Police, the vignettes every week. These two guys are over as over-the-top kind of Zoolander baby faces who have this fucking stupid cheap-ass cop gimmick. I love it. It's, to me, the first time that those two have actually done something interesting in WWE, and it's worked. So, although I'd love to see them have the belts, it makes sense that the Usos retain. Your thoughts?
Usos by shenanigans setting up a rematch at some point. I mean, Breeze's undercover work in that vignette. Oh my God, I had no idea it was him until he said it.
It's he's got the acting chops, I'm telling you.
Yeah. And he's a good old Well, in real life, he's a good old Canadian boy too, so.
Good on him. Next match, Nakamura, Ziggler. Although it's been a pretty shit buildup, and that's not Nakamura's fault. It's more Ziggler. He had to carry the dialogue, and he just did a shit job. I don't know if that's just the bad writing, whatever, but it was every week. It's like, Ziggler, you got to mute. Ziggler comes out, gets his ass kicked. Nakamura says one word, kicks him in the face. Ziggler comes out, gets his ass kicked. Nakamura, it's the same shit. It was boring. Ziggler did not step up. Nakamura's going to easily win this. It's obvious, but it just sucks that he has to debut with such a lackluster match.
I don't know about lackluster match. Lackluster build to match, yes. I think this match will actually be fairly good. Ziggler's past his prime for what I feel, so we'll see. Nakamura, they got to start him somewhere, so it's better they start him with Ziggler than instead of somebody like Corbin or somebody else they're trying to build at the same time. At least they're putting him against an established superstar on the roster.
Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, this to me is going to be the match of the night. These two can go. We've seen it before, but I'm still very much looking forward to it with a title on the line. I'm saying, Kevin, who did I have here? Who was your pick, Cart, while I check?
I believe I took AJ. Yeah, I took AJ.
So you figure he's going to go on and have a little run there? So Owens is a transitional?
He's going to defeat the greatest American champ who's Canadian ever. Parce que le bon champion des Amériques, c'est le Kevin Owens.
Okay, I think I had Owens here. Let me check.
Hey, if I'm wrong, I'm happy. But I honestly think they're going to give it to AJ, and then AJ's going to feud with somebody else.
Yeah, I had Owens. I'm pretty sure Owens is going to retain because I think AJ's going for the main belt again. I think this is just a gender boy there, fuck whatever the fuck he does. But I think it's AJ, it's going to be AJ and Orton.
I mean, it could be AJ by disqualification, so Owens retains. I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I just put AJ to win. I didn't say how.
Yeah, I'm saying Owens. Main event, Jinder Mahal, Hard Body Mahal against Randy Orton. Everything's saying they're trying to build Jinder up big time, winning kind of one-offing Orton a couple weeks in a row, making him look strong for the build. There's no way he goes over, in my opinion, but it's interesting. It's an experiment to see if this guy can hang. It's been an interesting experiment. I think it slowly dies after this pay-per-view, but it was cool to see a lower-level guy get elevated. Maybe not so quickly, but it reminds me kind of the capital punishment thing. And even though you look back and you're like, R-Truth, but I found it was interesting because they put a non-traditional main eventer in the spot and gave him a shot. So to me, it's Orton easily winning here, but I'm actually interested to see what they do with this match.
I mean, so you got Backlash now, and not even a month later, you're going to have Money in the Bank. They could easily have Orton win, or maybe Mahal win by disqualification, therefore you're giving it another month towards Money in the Bank. I mean...
Yeah, that could make sense, yeah.
You're trying to push your network in India right now. You have potential in an Indian-born star who can actually wrestle, who's not just a 12-and-a-half-foot giant who could barely move his legs because his kneecaps don't work. You actually have somebody who's a good worker. He could cut promos in English, clean English, and Hindi. I think it's Hindi he speaks.
Yeah.
You know what? Hell, if they put the strap on him, WWE, well done for catching me off guard.
I see what you're saying, though.
Look.
I see this pay-per-view. I see this angle going another month, but I think Randy Orton's going to win by DQ or something. I don't think he goes over clean, but I don't think Jinder wins this.
I mean, Great Khali was champ twice? World Heavyweight Champ once. Yeah. Still, he was a champ. They created a shitty match, but they created a match for him.
So. Prison match, yeah.
Yeah, the Punjabi prison match.
Yeah, because that was a great match. Okay, so those are our thoughts on Backlash. Hopefully he delivers. I'm a lot of possibilities where it's going to go. A lot of potential on this pay-per-view. So I'm going to look at it with open eyes, open mind. All right. Whatever you guys think, I'm curious what you guys think about these two pay-per-views. Tweet us at WrestleCast. Give us your thoughts. Okay, let's get into emails. Start with Kitty, the First Lady. Here we go. Hey, guys. Thanks for giving me the heads up about the Skype issues. Hopefully you'll get all worked out and I can be on chatting with you guys sooner than later. Until then, I'll try to send in an email or tweet to give you my thoughts on Raw and SmackDown. For Raw, I want to improve the women's title match in that Just Make an Extreme Rules match instead of a kendo stick on a pole. Really, we're still doing things on a pole. Metaphor there. I don't think it's necessary and a little too gimmicky. Then again, we did just watch as a horse match, so whatever. For SmackDown, and I'm not sure if this counts because it's for Talking Smack, but I'm going to keep the promo that Eric Rowan did. But I thought it was good and very creepy. If you guys haven't watched it, I highly recommend it. And I thought it was good character development. One last thing, are you guys looking forward to Backlash this Sunday? I think we'll have some decent matches, and will Rusev show up? Hopefully you guys got my picks. Yes, I did. And I'll do a lot better this time around, and I will send an email next week. Later, Katie the First Lady. Carp, where do you want to start with the Eric Rowan promo? You were talking about it before, but do you think it was like a standout thing or for you?
I think it's them trying to push him.
Yeah.
It's got potential. So, you know what? Look how good Braun Strowman got. Rowan's been injured twice. I don't think we've ever really given him a chance to improve himself.
But,
so.
Okay, here's why I don't think they should. The second week after he turns babyface, no reaction.
No, well, for sure he won't turn babyface. They should not turn the guy babyface. First of all, he's a ginger, so he's got no soul. So he should just always be a heel.
Agreed. But nobody has any reaction from whatsoever. He's been on the roster for multiple years. He does nothing that stands out. He doesn't look any unique than anybody else. It's that big guy with a fucking beard. Like, there's nothing unique about the guy. He's just a smaller Braun Strowman with less talent. He can't cut a promo. He's a mediocre worker. I do not see the reason to push him. Harper's been fucking losing weight, getting jacked. The guy can move. He can fly for a big guy. Yes, they don't know what to do with him, but fucking just have him beat Raw. I just don't see the reason. I think that is the absolute worst thing to do. What do you think about the kendo stick on a pole match? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, no, they should have just made it an Extreme Rules match or a no disqualify, whatever the hell they wanted to call it.
A Judy Bagwell on a pole match.
I think it's a little insulting how the girls have to climb the pole to work their match. You know,
I think you're digging there, but
they're not strippers anymore, Kurt Angle. because your ex-wife looks like one.
Like I said,
the women you work with.
Like I said, Judy Bagwell on a pole match, make it happen. And your thoughts on, we talked about Backlash. What was the other one? A kendo stick, Talking Smack. Oh, Rusev. Do you think Rusev's going to show up?
I think he's going to show up, but he's not going to wrestle. I think he's just going to call out Shane and be like, Shane, what is my title match that I demanded? And go Bulgaria. And my wife is now dancing and to better wrestle.
Yeah, I don't think he's allowed to mention that now.
And now I have no wife because she is her own wrestler. Who knows? I think he should show up so he'll at least stay relevant. Yeah. He's only done two TV things in the last month.
Side question, do you think Lana drops the accent?
I don't know. It's really hard to call.
Because now it's the time to do it.
Yeah, they should because she did her the Talk is Jericho where she kept her good old USA accent. So
there you go. All right.
She doesn't sound as redneck as my USA accent, but.
All right, this comes from Mikey Misfit. Here we go. What's up, my WrestleCast peeps? Back again this week to deliver two scoops of wrestling. Maybe you watched, you listened to All Beer Inside there. That's thank you very much for the reference. Two scoops of wrestling content for you to discuss. First question of the week is in regard to SmackDown tag team matches live to tape. With the Fashion Police, Breezango and the Usos both putting in tremendous work via their promos and backstage segments. Learn how to read.
Hey, all this bad talking is supposed to be reserved for me when we record All Beer Inside Friday.
Yeah, it's been a long day. To build the match, who should get strapped to Backlash? I feel that you can get so much more from the Fashion Police's characters. Agreed, as they have a proclivity. I think he listens to a couple of the shows on the network. That word's for you, old school, for comedy. Maybe they could adopt the same funny, jovial tag team monkier that suited the New Day so well. I mean, I don't know if they're New Day level, but they're fucking.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
You said monkier. It's moniker.
I said monkier?
Yeah, you said monkier.
This, I'm turning into Andy, dude. I need to take my alpha brain.
Uh-oh, retard alert. Uh-oh.
I might have to do it, yeah.
Dummy, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would be so happy if they put the titles on the Fashion Police. They're great. I've never been this impressed by Breezango or even them individually in any... It's just they're hitting on all cylinders right now.
But it's crazy when you invest a little bit in a lower kind of, not a jobber tag team, but just a tag team that has so much potential that was just getting put on main event every week. You give them a couple of vignettes and let them be themselves over the top, and you get magic. These guys...
Amen. Funny equals money sometimes, as Colt Cabana said.
Yeah, I agree with that. Second question. Due to Strowman's injury setting him back at least 8 weeks, should WWE booking keep the title on Lesnar, regardless of who comes out of the Fatal 5-Way as number one contender, and have the Braun and Brock showdown for the Universal Championship headline SummerSlam?
So, rumor is, the more recent rumor, is that the 8 weeks was turned into 6 months because apparently his elbow was shattered.
Yeah, that's the rumor.
And now the rumor is that that 6 months is complete bullshit.
Ooh.
To make everybody think he's gone 6 months to come back and go, Braun! And I would put the title on him at Summer. I don't know how the fuck I would not have said this 6 months ago to a year ago. I would put the title on Braun.
Does he win clean over Brock Lesnar?
That's a hard call.
Because the thing is, Lesnar's stock is dwindling if he's going to lose again, right? He lost twice to Goldberg, kind of. Well, not the second time.
Yeah, but then beat him at the biggest event of them all.
But still, I mean, he went undefeated for how many years? And now, I don't know about that. I say you don't make him win clean, but you do make him win. I would give him the title. I agree.
So, but yeah, I can't believe we're saying this, but Braun Strowman for the title at SummerSlam.
And the last one, agree or egregious, is Bliss currently better than the other four horsewomen, than the four horsewomen? She is not one of them. Yeah.
I'd say egregious. I mean, she's really good, but Charlotte is better than her. Bayley is so good for the kids. It's just, she's one of the better heel, she's the best heel, female heel on the roster right now.
She's not over the top in her work rate, but she's solid enough that she can hang, and her talking's fantastic. So
perfect bitch.
She's not better, but she can hang, and I have no issues with her having a strap or just being in that main event picture. I think she's great. Thanks again for the great product. P.S. Kevin Pillar is going to have a monster year. Go Jays, go. Thank you very much for the support of the Jays, Mikey Misfit, and for the email continuing this week.
All Pillar knows how to do right now is catch a ball looking all fancy. That's all he knows how to do.
Yeah, he only saved the game a couple times. That guy's fucking insane. All right, our last email coming from Mr. Fourth Row. It's Mr. Fourth Row checking in again with my view. Not a hard-hitting thought this week, but I was just thinking about the pay-per-views that I've been able to attend in my life. These are Extreme Rules 2013, WrestleMania 32, and Vengeance 2003, when the WWE actually held a pay-per-view in Denver, Colorado, believe it or not, which is where I live. I'm thinking how some people want to visit every MLB or NFL stadium, and I'm thinking I'm going to go do at least this for pay-per-views. Is this an attainable goal? Do you know of anyone who has done this with the exception of the WWE sign guy, which I think is being paid to attend and get front row tickets by the WWE? And most importantly, do you think or could you want to complete this challenge? Mr. Well, Fourth Row, not my view from the cheap seats, not from the expensive seats, but from the fourth row. Carp, go.
Well, Mr. Fourth Row, the big four is definitely attainable. I've done it. I've been to Survivor Series here in Montreal, Royal Rumble in New York City. And just the atmosphere of Madison Square Garden is amazing. I mean, he lives in Denver, which is pretty fucking far from most major Eastern cities that they do a lot of their shows in. SummerSlam in Toronto and WrestleMania in Toronto. I mean, it's possible. It's just you have to be willing to spend the money. The pay-per-views I've done have all been in either driving or very short flight distance. Yeah. Denver is a whole other thing. I don't know what other major... I don't know U.S. geography, so I can't tell him. Is it attainable? If you got the money, hell yeah. But
I want to see at least one pay-per-view this year, man. Because the last one I saw was Edge's cash-in at...
A three-hour drive for us.
New Year's Resolution?
New Year's Revolution.
Right. 2003?
Oh, fuck. It's got to be.
Fuck, it's been a while, man. Albany, New York. It was the biggest piece of shit fucking pay-per-view. Hell in a Cell. And then John Cena wins against like Carlito and fucking
Carlito and
the
Chris
Masterpiece.
Masters.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, Vince comes out and nobody saw that coming. He's cashing in his money and Edge fucking Spear wins the title. Made up for that shit pay-per-view just to be there live to see the first ever cash-in.
That was probably the hardest I've ever marked out. It was actually 2006, so you're three years behind.
Not too bad. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I screamed so loud I gave myself a headache because I'm like, ah, oh, man, this is such a terrible. It was a terrible show all around. I mean, we opened with Chavo versus your favorite wrestler ever, Snitsky.
Flair against Edge.
And then Flair against Edge. Yeah. And Edge loses by DQ. So it's like, huh? Trish against Mickey James was good from what I remember. Lawler, Gregory Helms. Don't even remember that match happening. Triple H, Big Show. Don't remember that.
Yeah.
Benjamin versus Viscera. Don't remember that. Masaro versus Maria Tori Wilson, Victoria and Candice Michelle in a bra and panties gauntlet match. Don't remember that. I remember Kurt Angle going, I can make Jesus tap out, and the crowd going, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how over he was at the time and how hated Cena was. I just, every time Watsuki brings it up, remember the final three was Cena, Carlito, and Masters? I'm like, yeah, we were there, dude. And then Edge won, and we flipped the fuck out.
That made it. It saved the pay-per-view.
That saved the three-hour drive.
Yeah, and having to endure a guy with drinking Red Bull for the first time who literally, the entire car ride, it smelled like ass. The guy was farting so much. I didn't know whether it was the original fart or a new fart that happened. And we had to keep the window open three quarters of the drive in the winter. And we had a friend who was going to work the next day and had to freeze his ass off. Because I was just smelling ass the entire fucking car ride. It was horrible, but it was super fun.
No, I mean, is it attainable? Probably not this year. I'm just looking at what their schedule is as of Backlash. So we'd have to start in Chicago. It's technically in Rosemount.
Yeah.
Rosemont. Then Baltimore. So that's not... Yeah, that's pretty far. Baltimore to St. Louis. You got to fly. St. Louis, Missouri to Dallas, Texas.
Yeah, I'm going to start small. I'll do one pay-per-view this year.
I mean, I were to do anything within this next year, if it were a big trip, I would probably go to Survivor Series in Houston. Yeah. Just for the fact of the farthest south I've ever traveled, it was still on the East Coast, was Florida. I'd love to hit a couple other southern states, Texas.
Are we close to New Orleans? Because I got to try the fucking food there.
Well, we're not close to New Orleans. New Orleans is a 40-hour drive for us.
I want gumbo.
We'd have to fly.
I want crawfish etouffee.
Yeah, no. I would love some gator burgers and then all that stuff.
Oh, so much good food there.
Yeah, and the boobs, which would be nice.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
But yeah, so, I mean, the closest driving distance one we could go to is either Battleground in July in Philly or Royal Rumble in January in Philly.
Royal Rumble would be fun because it's my favorite pay-per-view.
Yeah, I've been to a Rumble. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the year John Cena came back from injury and the crowd's like, rah, John Cena's back. And then it's like, oh, it's John Cena.
Boo. That's amazing.
Rumble's a great event to be to. I've been to Philly. I drove through Philly on my way to Washington, home of the Philly cheesesteak, man. Like, can't go wrong. If I were to
and
do
the
any
fans
event,
are fucking mental, too. Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, we couldn't go and make it a full weekend. We couldn't go in our Canadians gear because we'd probably get murdered. If the people in Philly murdered a hitchhiking robot, what do you think they're going to do to a bunch of Montreal Canadiens?
I say we go with some Expos gear. How can you shit on a team that doesn't exist? You can't shit on the Expos. Come on.
It's Philadelphia.
Yeah, you're not going to shit on a team that hasn't been around for 10 years.
Didn't Philadelphia beat up Santa Claus? I mean...
I think we get a bit of love for the Expos. I think we get a bit of love for the Expos hat.
But it's also January, so I don't think we're wearing baseball jerseys.
No, probably not.
Anyways, Mr. Fourth Row, if you got a few $1 million, you could definitely do it within a year. If you're planning to do it over a lifetime with 20 pay-per-views a year, it's going to take you at least 5 to 6 years from where you're located, if you're willing to fly or drive a shit ton.
Yeah, I'm not going to do the 20. I definitely want to see one this year, and I definitely have to do one WrestleMania. It's like a mecca. You have to go to one.
Yeah, well, I've hit the major four. I hit a one timer in Breaking Point here in Montreal. No Way Out in Montreal, which is a big old shit stain.
Oh yeah.
What else? Unforgiven.
I mean, Survivor Series here, obviously.
I've seen Survivor Series here. Unforgiven, Edge versus Cena in a TLC match, first ever TLC match I saw. Miyu, C Money, and a couple other guys who don't podcast or watch wrestling anymore. Driving down to Albany 3 hours. You know, if you got a group of friends to do it with, but doing it on your own, man, it's going to be costly. So.
No. All right, let's close the show here. Plugs, final thoughts. Carpe diem, go for it.
At Killer Carpe Diem for anything personal. At All Beer Inside or allbeerinside@gmail.com. We are recording live to tape.
Live to tape.
May 19th. We're probably going to do hopefully another 0.5, which would be fun. Not this episode, but next episode. I'm already planning. We did a cereal bracket. Next one, I'm doing a candy and chocolate bracket. Not this recording, but the recording.
The cereal bracket was the most invested our listeners have ever been. I've gotten three separate people telling me they were marking out over the cereal bracket.
So we'll see how they react to the chocolate and candy bracket. Unfortunately, some of the chocolate's not available to America, like Kinder Surprise.
Yeah.
That's an entry.
And, scoops of raisin. Raisin bread.
Talking about beer, I actually have an article where I'm hoping to educate our listeners on how to taste beer properly. So we'll go from there. And then at CFL East Pick should be coming back within the next month because that's when the season starts. Finally, StableWars.com. Always looking for new members. You can win DVDs for free.
Don't be a dick. DVDs. Enter for free.
I mean, you don't even have to pay for shipping. It's not all the DVDs, but there's DVDs that you might not have. That's a prize. So just fucking play. It's not that hard. It's easier than fantasy football.
Don't be a dick. At STFU Old School on Twitter. Shut the Fuck Up podcast I do with Charlie, found on the Brand New Trending Topics Network. New episodes every Saturday. Charlie's back. Take a hint, I'm not available. New episodes every Saturday. We got Charlie back from Italy.
Boo. More Brooke.
Actually, your show did pretty well. And the ratings, too.
Oh, less downloads. Less introvert.
Well, I say introvert at least 12 times, so it's good. Yeah, check that out. And that's it. See you very. Thank you very much. And fuck you, and see you later. Bye. Run away. I am cold like